Give it a little bit. Come on. And as Alan mentioned, man, it is such an honor to be on the same stage with one of the greatest running backs in the National Football League history. First round pick out of Ohio State. Just a phenomenal back. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Robert Smith. Give it up. Robert, it's good to have you back in the city, man.
It's always great to be back. You know, I saw you the good week in the playoffs against the Saints. So,
yes.
But it's always great to be back. And, you know, for me, you know, people around the country that have been to so many different NFL cities, having them come here, and I'm not saying this, obviously, because I'm in Minnesota, but to meet the people of Minnesota, I mean, truly, genuinely, the nicest people that I've ever, like, almost like, I wouldn't say irritating, but almost like surprisingly. Quick story about that. When I got drafted in 93, and
sorry,
I can't remember,
like, right in front
I can't
of
remember
you.
What it was that I was looking for, but you guys remember when we didn't, you couldn't look things up on Google. You know, you know, you'd have to look in a phone book or something like that. For
a dictionary.
Dictionaries, those kind of things, too. But I called up some place up here, and I was trying to find something else. And the person on the phone, like, oh, don't worry, you know, don't worry about trying to find it. I'll go look it up for you. So they took a couple of minutes to, like, go look in a phone book for me. And, I'm from Ohio, so I'm used to Midwest people, but it's a whole different level up here, and I'm glad that people around the country get a chance to come in and meet such genuinely good people. It makes me feel good that they get to meet Minnesotans.
Super Bowl week, what has it been like for you? In a place where not only you're familiar with, folks are familiar with you, but you played and established history here, but, I mean, you've seen the best and the worst of Minnesota. But what has this week been like for you?
There have been some mixed emotions, honestly, because, you know, obviously being here for the Saints game and kind of seeing the miracle and, you know, on the way out of the stadium, it took about 45 minutes for us from the time that the game was over to get out of the stadium. You know, it was like a Prince concert for 45 minutes, people jumping around, hugging each other and excited and, you know, all the bring it home banners and everything like that. So from that part of it, you know, I just really wish that I was coming here to see a Vikings game. That would have made it great. But like I said, just being back in the city, being around the people, and having so many great memories of myself here and so many people coming up and being complimentary. I mean, it just feels incredible. It's something that that I know I don't deserve to have so many people be so nice, and it's really cool being around it, and once again, people getting a chance to see not only the people and meet and talk to the people of Minnesota, but seeing all the great things that Minneapolis as a city has to offer, and to me, couldn't be happier that they get the cold and the snow, because hey, that's what this place is in the winter, and it's something special. I like it. You know, you don't go outside unprepared for it, and you're okay.
You know, we're going to talk about some of your memories, but you talked about the Minnesota Miracle, and I want to take you back a little bit because you were on the sideline as well. Take us through the range of emotion, because for those who saw that, for those who were at the games, those who witnessed that, what you experienced and witnessed and saw was one of the greatest plays in National Football League history, and it was done by the Purple. Take us through that.
Well, for me, you know, as a player, you're used to the 24-hour rule. You know, whether it's a win or a loss, you got to get over it. And, you know, you kind of transition from being a player into being a fan of a team. And so you see things a little bit differently. But when the Saints kicked the field goal to go up in that game, you know, after all of the buildup and the bring it home and being a part of that, like, it almost literally made me sick to my stomach. And it wasn't because, you know, I wasn't going to, you know, as a former player, like, I know the rule, and even though it would have hurt, like, it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. But I felt, like, literally sick for the fans. And that place, as you know, like, from as crazy as that place was to literally almost being able to hear people breathing across the stadium, because it was dead silent. And then, you know, you get a couple of incompletions, And it's just like, you know, now we just got to kind of watch the clock, you know, go to zeros and that sad walk out of the stadium. And then to see that throw and catch, and the first thing, like many people that were there, because I was actually up in the players' cabin by this time, to see the catch and then be thinking, get out of bounds, get out of bounds. And then to see that, wait a minute, there's nobody there. And then it's like, it was surreal because you're looking back at the field and the first thing is, okay, are there any flags out here? Did this? And then it's like, wait a minute, did this really happen? And like, why aren't they working on the extra point? And you know, like so many things are going through my mind, and I, you know, from as low as I could have gotten thinking about how the fans were going to feel walking out of the place, to just enjoying that, like I said, for 45 minutes, leaving that place, and so many happy Vikings fans, and hugs, and jumping up and down, and taking pictures with people.
Come on, tell the truth. You cried. I know you did.
I didn't.
You shed a tear.
No, I didn't cry. I didn't cry, but I was happy enough to cry, for like I said, because the fans just, man, not again. Not like that, man. Not like that. Not when the game had started off so well for the team, and not the way that the Saints had kicked it with just, you know, so little time left in the game. It's like, I just couldn't stand to see that again.
Do you think guys coming out of college are prepared for the next level?
I don't. I think it's something that you have to learn as you get in. And I think the biggest difference is that guys that are good enough to make it to professional football have usually dominated at every level before. So you dominated the high school level, dominated the pro level. And, you know, this will be an interesting conversation to have about Randy when we get here. You know, there are good high school players, there are great high school players that become flops in college, and there are good college players. There are great college players that make it to the next level and just can't do it. And I think a lot of it is psychological. For some guys, having been so dominant, to all of a sudden be surrounded by so many great players and so much competition day in, day out, year out, as you know. I mean, they're bringing in a whole new set of guys that, you know, would like to take your job, you know, the next year, or, you know, at any point. So I think that, from that standpoint, guys just don't understand. They don't understand just how fast the game is, and they don't understand how competitive it is when you've got the best of the best on every roster. Because I don't care, you know, people say, oh, well, the Browns this, Browns. You lose. They won what? One game in 2 years? The level of talent there compared to a bunch of great college players is a world of difference.
Who were the guys or the guy that took you under his wing and kind of helped you and showed you the ropes?
Well, Ty Willingham as a coach, first of all. I met Ty when I went out. I was considering transferring from Ohio State in 91. And Ty was a running back coach for Denny then. And, you know, it was a reality check with Ty before I even came to my first practice. I remember getting off of that. I was drafted and flew up here that afternoon. And the next day, he started bringing up film from college, showing me how I had it all wrong.
Wow.
I mean, Ty, it like, if you had looked here on this play, you would have turned a 10-yard gain into a 40-yard gain. And from that standpoint, it was clear to me. And he wouldn't restrict it to just the way that you ran a football. It was, you know, you can't be out doing this stuff and expect to make the team. You can't spend this on that and expect to be successful long term. I mean, so it was kind of a mindset that got set in place right away with Denny. But you know, my first training camp, I had Roger Craig in minicamp room, which was, you know, one of those moments that, you know, it's kind of hard for people to understand that You know, you're in an industry where the person that you grew up watching is all of a sudden your teammate and doing the same job. So learning from him right away, you know, you had guys on the roster that had been around, you know, Henry Thomas and Chris Dolman. Obviously, Chris Carter was here. I mean, we had so many guys that had proven that you needed to do it a certain way to be successful that it wasn't news to me, or it wasn't something that I needed to wait a period of time to learn. It was in my face as soon as I got here.
Man, you talked about Denny Green. We can't continue this conversation unless we have a conversation about him. I ran into Marie Green last night, who was also presented an award from the Fritz Pollard Award organization to Denny. Your thoughts when the words Dennis Green comes up?
Denny was like another father to me, quite literally. And I talked about going out and visiting Stanford. It was in 91. And Denny was out there with Stanford and Ty, and I was considering transferring. And, of course, that next year, he came up here and took the job. And I decided, not because of that, but I decided to stay at Ohio State, just play one more year and come into the league. And on draft day, you know, it's an intense day, very nerve-wracking. Even getting picked 21st, it took, you know, almost 3 hours to get drafted. And you know, I'm the picture of maturity on and off the field. I was watching Ren and Stimpy when the call came in from Denny, and Denny, I heard Denny on the phone. I'm just so excited, and he said, "I let you get away once. I'm not going to let it happen again." And I couldn't have been more excited to play, you know, for a guy like Denny, who. You know, I think you'll hear from most players that played for him that when you did something wrong or when somebody did something wrong and Denny was really upset about it, Denny didn't have to yell. There was just that presence about him. And when he walked in, it was like you broke a lamp and your parents were, you know, about to bring the wrath. I remember when he had his... go ahead and crown them, they are who we thought they were, speech. Yeah. I was out of the league for about 4 or 5 years, and literally, the first time I heard it, it made me so uncomfortable, like I was sitting in the locker room hearing him again, you know, because it was just so hardwired. When Denny was upset, you knew that you needed to get things right.
You just talked about not wanting to let him down, but when he gave you that chance, gave you that opportunity, It was like letting down the favorite person in your life if you didn't want to do it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, because your teammates, obviously, you never want to let your teammates down. But when you're trying to win for the head man as much as anybody, I think it produced a lot of great results. And you know, Denny, there were a lot of different personalities in that locker room, and I don't think that.
Yes, you did.
And I don't, you know, and I think that he not only tolerated it, I think he celebrated it, you know, because you can be different types of people so long as you understand that we got one job when we're here, and the job is to try and win games, and everybody's job is slightly different than trying to accomplish that goal, but as long as you understand that he's the man in charge. And then we all got the same job. We're going to win a lot of games.
Folks, how about it for Robert Smith?